and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, a game, I guess, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league, kind of funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We are your absolute tosh hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth, dry side supporter, he's Brandon from the internet.
Man, I still don't feel super comfortable with being a wet side supporter.
No, it's a moist. I'm going moist.
Moist, I want to moist make it side supporter. Although I feel like at the same time that I don't feel comfortable saying wet side or moist side supporter, I do feel fully comfortable calling myself a supporter of Harry Ship and being a seaman. So I don't know why it's better, but it is.
Well, hi there, Brandon. Do us a quick solid, click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Specifically, I want to know your favorite ever current Sounders FC left back, from Brad Bradsmith to Jovan Jones to Nuhu to, apparently, Jimmy Madronda.
We really do. You put Nuhu at the front of that, and you really do have a train down the left side now.
Yeah. It's like when, who was it a few years ago that was... I think it was Orlando City. They signed basically every second string goalkeeper. No, it was Philadelphia Union. They signed like basically every goalkeeper, and everybody's like, you know, you can only play one of those, right? And it turns out that we're signing all of the left backs. So Seattle Left Backs FC is your
can't
new
play
team.
Left back if we got them all, huh?
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Hey, we got a review.
Hey, we did get a review. Thank you, Lauren RM on iTunes, who said, about time, you guys have been suggesting that we rate and comment, so it's time, high time that I complied. Yes, it is. Thank you for your compliance. They say, love the pod, love the tangents. Thank you, you're the only one. Love the fun demeanor from both of you. Great podcast. My favorites have to be Mauro Rosales and Christian Roldan. She's a big midfielder fan, isn't she?
I guess so. Like, I haven't thought about Mauro Rosales in forever.
He was such a handsome person. He is such a handsome person.
No, he's dead now.
Oh. No, that's Marco Papa. No, he's still alive.
Yeah, he's alive. Alive and stabbing.
My favorite memory of Mauro Rosales was... and I'm wondering, I don't know if you have a favorite memory of Mauro Rosales that you want to share.
Sure.
But he was my favorite Sounder at the time when he was on the Sounders. And my favorite memory was, I think there was a match against Real Salt Lake, and one of the Real Salt Lake players got hit in the nuts and was on the ground. And it was very clear, like in all of the slow-mo replays, that the ball or whatever had hit him in the nuts so hard that like any man would be on the ground in pain.
Yeah.
And like, there's nothing that you can really do for somebody in that scenario. Like, you just kind of have to wait for it to dissipate. I don't know.
No, you teabag him. That's what you do.
Yeah. And so Mauro Rosales went and teabagged him. No, Mauro Rosales went. No, that was Marco Papa. So Mauro Rosales went over and picked up this player who's laying on his back on the ground, picked up his legs. And almost like, you know how when you pick up somebody's legs when they're on their front and you like do a wheelbarrow race? It was it was the reverse of that. He picked up his legs and kind of like shook his legs out a little bit. Because as like a, like, let me just bump those around a little bit and you'll forget about the pain. It was like, I've looked.
Oh, I got it. It's like at a CrossFit gym when people are doing the rope.
Oh, yeah. Man, the weights on the end of these things are really dangly.
A lot of dead weight.
Yeah. And I've looked for ages to find the GIF of this and have never been able to find it. So if anybody knows where I can find an animation of Mauro Rosales helping a guy with his nuts, please send that to me at BrandonMG on Twitter.
I have seen that play out a lot differently on the internet on adult sites, and so I'm glad that your story didn't go that way.
It did not. It did not go that way. Anyway, thanks for the review, and thank you for reinvigorating that memory in my mind of Mauro Rosales helping a dude with his testicles.
This week, a shutout is a shutout. Sounders FC take on the leaky in the end, Fartland Timbers, or alternatively, MLS's team most likely to expose themselves on a Zoom call, Fartland Timbers. Got a real six-pointer here. Oh, my voice cracked.
Oh,
hey. Hi, everybody.
Do you just, does Mauro Rosales need to help you out?
Brandon, could you give me a Mauro?
Oh, that's better.
I would love it if your space baby walked in and just hit you in the nuts right now.
Right now we're getting elbows to the face, so
great.
His is certainly more red cardable right now. Yeah. So anyway, 6-point matchup at CenturyLink Field on Thursday night. That means that if someone were to win, the other were to lose, obviously, and 3 go to the winner, and a chance of taking that top spot for the Fartland Timbers could be out the window. It has not been a great trade-off this season. Seattle Sounders have not delivered very strongly against Fartland, so this could be really interesting.
No, they're the weirdest team, especially lately. You know, their form is they drew the match against San Jose, which now, you know what, I'm looking back at the Sounders website because I was looking at the recent form between these two teams, and
yeah,
the Sounders website.
I'm just going to do some critiquing of SoundersFC.com now.
No. They got it right. I just read it backwards. Both teams drew their last one, lost to the one before that, and won the 3 straight before that. However, what's different is Sounders just drew against the team that they beat 7-1 like a week ago, and lost against a team that they should have beat, and won the 3 against teams that they shouldn't have beat. So it's just like a very strange, run of results for the Sounders right now.
Remember like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when we were like, hey, it's cool, there's so much depth on this Sounders team, it's going to be all good. It turns out that the only place where the depth has been all good is by getting Arriaga off the field and keeping Shane O'Neill out there, because otherwise, flat. That Rui Diaz not being up there has really changed the shape of things. And then Jordan Morris looks like he's playing in week 97 of a single season somehow. It's just crazy that it's like without a couple key players locking down that midfield, how I just kind of boring.
Well, I think what happens is defenders know that like the Sounders' primary target and only target without Raul Diaz is Jordan Morris. And so, you know, you've got Christian Roldan doing things up and down the right side, but he's not a striker. So at the end of the day, his decision making in the box, like chances where he could have shot and scored, like we saw in the last match before San Jose, like he just doesn't have that striking ability. I mean, we've seen him score some incredible goals, but
of course
he's just not Raul Ruiz Diaz, for instance. And so teams know that they just mark Jordan Morris out of the game, and they don't have to worry about Jordan Morris and Raul Ruiz Diaz. And so now all you've got is like Nico Lodero taking crazy shots from like 50 yards out. You've got Christian Roldan running until his legs fall off. So, I mean, I think that that's why you end up seeing Jordan Morris, who just runs and runs and runs himself into the ground because no Raul Ruiz Diaz to take some of that pressure off of him.
It might have been a good opportunity to sit Jordan on Sunday against San Jose, I think. I think there could have been a good call to be made to be able to rest that guy a little bit more, because it does certainly seem like there's fatigue combined with good reasonable like watching film and being like, hey, last time they beat the piss out of us and this guy was pretty much solely responsible, let's not let that happen again. But then so I'm looking at the conference, the table here, and it dawned on me that the Western Conference is just pretty bad is the problem this year. Toronto at first place in the East on 41 points, 2 games in hand. Okay, so that's like, or 2 games ahead of the Sounders right now. Seattle in first place with 31 points. So if Seattle were in the Eastern Conference, they wouldn't even make the Champions League by other standards. Like, they'd be fifth place. I know it doesn't translate into CONCACAF because nobody knows how that works. But Sounders wouldn't even be in the top 4 if it was a proper football table here. So, the West is just not very good this year. And so these results are weird.
I wonder, you know, I feel like we've said this in the past, but especially with this unbalanced season, you've got a team like the Sounders who have to play last year's Supporter Shield winning team, the LAFC, who have to play a every year a decent team, Portland, who have to play, you know, some pretty competitive teams in the Western Conference over and over and over.
Yeah.
Where on the Eastern Conference, you know, you look at DC United, who sits in 14th place, in last place in the Eastern Conference with 3 wins on the season. Like, that's awful. It's terrible. Cincinnati has 4 wins. You know, even in the Western Conference, you have a few teams like that. But realistically, I think that the competition that you face in the Western Conference is just a lot stiffer. And so Toronto will gladly take the chance to play against, you know, DC United 3 times a season, especially during COVID, and just pick up points left and right against a team that, like, can't surprise, like San Jose. Yeah, the Sounders smashed them 7-1. San Jose went through a string of results like that, but that doesn't mean that they're not a competitive team, because it's MLS and anybody can play like any way every game.
Speaking of not competitive teams, LOL, LA Galaxy, bottom of the West, man. What a change in fates from just a few seasons ago. God, that's crazy.
It's terrible. I mean,
you expect to see Colorado down there because Colorado's garbage, but
garbage.
You don't expect to see the Galaxy being worse than a team like San Jose, who was getting beaten, you know, giving up 14 goals in 3 matches.
LA Galaxy has played 17 matches this season.
Yeah.
They have 5 points. They have 5 wins. Three draws and 9 losses. They're on 18 points. One less than the Colorado Rapids, who have played 13 matches and have skipped like 4 matches straight because of COVID. And this is the team that played during the plague last season. So LA Galaxy, despite playing 4 more matches, have one fewer points than Colorado, who hasn't played a game in a month.
Perhaps Toronto is better without their fans. Are the Toronto fans f***ing awful? That's the question, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, we know the Philadelphia fans are terrible, but they don't show up. So, yeah I guess it's... Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's... Well, okay. So, check this out. Toronto, right now, sitting on 41 points. 10 more... So, they're top of the East. Have already clinched a spot in the playoffs. So, have the top 3 teams, I think, in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, the Sounders lead with 10 fewer points than Toronto has in the Eastern Conference. So to your point, like, yeah, they'd be sitting in 5th place right now. Not great.
Yeah.
This season, Toronto looking in the hot seat as far as the chance to win the Supporter Shield in MLS. Obviously, the Supporter Shield awarded to the team with the most points in either conference, the team in MLS with the most points at the end of the season. Every other league, that is the championship, right? Like, if you end the regular season, there is no playoffs. If you end the regular season, you earn, you know, the trophy, the champion's trophy for whatever other league. In MLS, it just goes at the end of the regular season to the team with the most points. Right now, Toronto looks like they could snap that up, except for, wait a second, hold on, three dudes from, like, independent supporters councils, supporters groups have decided that the MLS Supporter Shield is not going to be awarded this season.
What is the, like, is the season not being played? I get when the Cascadia Cup isn't going to happen because it's all about the fans' rivalry. That's what Cascadia Cup is, I mean, is at least half of it. But why the heck is there... Heck. Why the heck is there not a Supporter Shield this year,
guys? Gosh darn it!
Yeah, dang!
Well, okay, so two things. First of all, they... I used to have a friend that would say, A of all, B of all, third of all...
On purpose, or because he's a dummy?
Because he's a dummy. So two things. One of all is that it sounds stupid, no matter if I do it on purpose or not. First of all, is like, this is a huge kind of like talking point among MLS supporters right now. Like, I don't think that there's consensus among anybody about whether or not they think that the Supporter Shield should be awarded this season, because a lot of people think, like, every season is different. Some seasons have great, you know, great competition. In the 90s, they did weird penalty kick shootouts to determine games, but we still awarded the Supporter Shield then, and those were unbalanced schedules. So even though all of the teams are playing everybody, like, the same people over and over and over, like, yes, it's different. Yes, they're not playing the same teams that they would play every season, but we should still award the supporter shield. Like, they still accrued the most points from the results that they had. And then the other half of people are saying, well, no.
Two of all.
B of all. The Sounders are playing, like, San Jose and LAFC over and over and over, and like they're gonna drop points against some of the better teams in the Western Conference. They don't get the they don't get to go play against 3-win DC United or 4-win Cincinnati, and hardly play against some of the worst teams in the Western Conference, like Houston, like San Jose. Well, at San Jose they've played twice, but like Dallas, like some of these teams the Sounders haven't played in, you know, months. And so, like, I get why, like, it's not going to be...
It's not truly representative of a
regular season, yeah.
But it's the season as played.
Exactly.
Like it's still the same amount of points without fans there. You're still counting. Like, it's picking and choosing when you're going to apply COVID or not.
Right. Well, and I think what's crazy is that you're going to award... So say everybody somehow ends up playing a 24-game season, right? Instead of a 34-game season like you're supposed to have. I don't know how is Colorado with 13 matches played so far, the Sounders with 17 matches, Toronto with 19. Like, you've got all of these different because of COVID, because of games that have had to be skipped or canceled left and right, like, how are you going to get all of these teams on the same matches played in order to determine that? So some people say, oh, well, we should go by points per game, which then you go with a team, like, it actually makes sense to play fewer games and to be more cautious with COVID if you have a good record, because all of a sudden, Colorado, yeah, we've only played 13 matches, but we've got great points per game because we've got 19 out of 13. So I think it's a little problematic in that way, like points per game, but you have to have played a minimum of, like, I don't know, 20 games or something like that.
Interesting that it's supporter shield, and I'm like, you better offer it, but when it's Cascadia Cup, you shouldn't, because it's all about the supporters, and it's actually called supporter shield. So, well, like, maybe.
And so this is the scandal, really, like, that, like, scandal, it's MLS. There's no such thing. It's not like one of our players stabbed somebody or was stabbed. The actual scandal, not this time. Is that okay to joke about? Is it okay? He's okay, so I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Supporter Shield is not owned or not dictated by the league, right? Not dictated by MLS, because it is the Supporters Shield. The supporters, a bunch of supporters groups across MLS came together and formed the Independent Supporters Council, which has representatives from all of the different supporters groups, and they get together and make decisions about the Supporter Shield. They make decisions about how and when it's awarded. They are the keepers of the shield.
Which
sounds so dope when I say it like that, but when you realize it's like a trophy in Major League Soccer, it sounds way less cool. Like, if you went anywhere in the world, you said, yes, I am a keeper of the shield. It's the supporter shield in MLS. Anyway, like, a small contingent of that group are on the committee that made this decision. It's like three people, literally three people, and all the rest of the supporters groups who have members on that thing are like, wait, so like... three of you made, like, even the supporters groups, the ISC, yeah, the Independent Supporters Shield, or Independent Supporters Coalition, or whatever they're called, couldn't make, yeah, like, didn't make the decision unanimously, or even as, like, a majority. So it's really, it's kind of, it seems crazy that the shield isn't going to be awarded this season. I understand why people might make that decision, but it seems, based on the way the decision was made and how, like, big of a deal it is to some of these teams who are in contention for the shield this year. Like, Toronto's head coach, Greg Vanney, went on like a tirade about how he thinks it's a stupid decision.
Well, I mean, as the guy who's sitting with the most likelihood of holding on to that shield for a while, I could see him wanting to pretend he's Captain America with it.
DC United is like, you know, in 2020, we didn't win the supporter shield because they decided not to award it. So,
like, who are those three clubs that are deciding it? Like, Cincinnati, Colorado, and DC, yeah, United?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah. Some interesting news from the Sounders this week. It was, as we mentioned, a shutout is a shutout. 250 matches for old Stefan Fry and getting the clean sheet. What looked like, I didn't think he had to be there, honestly.
No, like, I mean, not, yeah, you don't have to be there when you got Will Bruin.
Yeah, Will Bruin's got your back there, Stephon Fry. Nothing like a... Well, if we have attacking center backs on our team, why wouldn't you have a defending forward? Will Bruin be defending? He kept the ball out of both nets, I quipped. So...
I think Will Bruin just got tired of, you know, I feel like Will Bruin's the kind of guy, he goes to Whole Foods and he's walking through the supermarket and, you know, somebody asks him, you know, hey, I recognize you from something. Will Bruin's like, oh yeah, I'm a professional soccer player. I play for the Sounders. And I'm like, yeah, you're a center back, right? Because he like his size, he sure. looks like a center back. Like he's a big dude. He's thick, he juicy. And I'm thinking like, you know what? He's gotten that enough times. He's gotten mistaken for center back enough times that he's just like, you know, might as well.
Introducing himself as Shane O'Neill now. Yeah. Ah, Shane O'Neill, good to meet you.
Top of the morning to you. I'm Shane O'Neill.
That's exactly how he sounds too.
Yeah.
But hey, right on. He kept the Sounders with a point because of that defense that he did.
At the end of the match, the play of the game, like even Keith Costigan was talking to Casey Keller and Steve Zakuani and was like, well, I guess we're going to have a hard time picking the play of the game, but I guess it's this. And they cut to Will Bruin making a goal line clearance.
I mean, legitimately, that is the play of the key bank keys to the game or whatever. I don't know what it is this year, but yeah, without him, that's a loss.
The hand wall iguanas, hot tubs and saunas plays of the game.
That brings us to the most important player for Seattle. It's the Mauro Rosales leg wiggle man of the match.
I feel like the Mauro Rosales leg wiggle man of the match has got to be center back Will Bruin.
Defending center forward, Will Bruin.
Could it be left back Will Bruin?
that position's taken. Yeah. Mauro Rosales leg wiggle for when your nuts got wrecked.
Speaking of fun made up brands of Sounders players, unfortunately, it sounds like there's been a corporate takeover of one of our favorite brands, Hand Wall Iguanas, Hot Tubs and Saunas, and they're moving their headquarters to Nashville.
Ah, this is such a sad note. I'd missed it when it originally happened, and then I just saw some random quip from Sounder at Heart on Twitter, and I was like, wait, what's going on? Did Buona die? Like, what's happening here? Hand Walla Buona asked to be traded, it looks like, to somewhere where he's going to get some starting time.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that?
Yeah, so he's been confirmed to have been traded to Nashville, and the Sounders received something like $250,000 in general allocation money, and the services of Jimmy Madronda, left back / left winger, which the Sounders obviously don't have enough of between Brad Smith, Jovan Jones, and Nuhu. So Jimmy Madronda has not broken the starting 11 for Nashville this season. Handwall Iguana doesn't look to be factoring into Brian Schmetzer's plans to play at all, apparently, which is crazy. I feel like he's shown a ton of potential, a ton of promise. But then, you know, as a reading that Sounder at Heart article, and they noted that Handwall Iguana most recently featured in a match where he got pulled, I think, early into the second half, because I think Brian Schmetzer just wasn't having it. His play was not good. He wasn't completing the pass. He's just not really featuring for the Sounders in a way that is meaningful. He's not contributing in a way that Schmetzer seems to think is worth giving him some time, especially when they're trying to make a run for top of the Western Conference. They might want to rely on more veteran presence, like a guy like Jimmy Madronda, who's been in the league for a while.
Well, that's just it. Is that when you need to maybe give a rest to Jordan Morris and you don't have that guy that can play that left winger spot and play up front and maybe generate some goals or some crosses, and you're relying on Nuhu to do that. Like, I mean, no offense to Nuhu, but he's supposed to be a defender. And so he might bomb it in on the cross or whatever. But a guy like Handwall Iguana should be that guy that comes off the bench and gets a start when they need to, you know, rotate the squad a little bit and be able to pick up where Morris would leave off, especially on a team you've recently destroyed and a team that probably has figured out what to do with Morris, as we see now with hindsight, and could have maybe had a little trickier time with a more wiry guy like Handwall Buona. So it's unfortunate As a guy who is an Arsenal supporter, all I can hope is that they are just doing this in order to try and get Mesut Ozil to come to Seattle and take up that left winger position. I feel like he'd add some great depth behind Jordan Morris. Probably a little expensive, sure, but with Ladero being sought after by the Saudis, then why not? You got some money freed up. Bench depth, I'm in it.
Did you say that like randomly about Mesut Ozil, or have you seen the news that it looks like there's possibly a trade coming in, or not a trade, but there's possibly an MLS team looking currently for the service of Ozil?
So as a Arsenal fan, and I saw it this morning that he posted something about being like, okay, I'm not even being considered for the first team or for even in the cup play or whatever. He's not getting a look at any of this, and so obviously he's done something to prove that his, $400,000 a week salary is being wasted on having him on the pitch. I can't even fathom how insane that is, but it would be an easy transition to go from rainy London town to rainy Seattle and come on out and play the bench here.
Yeah, I wonder what team in MLS, like, first of all, if I'm Mesut Ozil, I go the Gareth Bale route, which is just collect my check and sit in the stands and make jokes, so give the supporters something to talk about. Because yeah, $400,000 a week, not bad.
He's not a dummy, though. He was really smart to, like, when they made Gunnarsaurus redundant and stopped paying their mascot, he was like, yeah, I'll pay for him, because then I'll be a club hero, a bit of a pariah, and be able to make my... to really dig it in as Arsenal tries to unload me. I want to know what the story is, like why he's not featuring, and that's something that obviously we won't
he
see
did,
without
he did
actually
something
being there.
To Mikel Arteta.
He didn't do the leg wiggle right.
Yeah,
Arteta got smashed in the nuts, and he was like, do the leg wiggle! Like Mauro Rosales showed you! He's like, I don't touch legs.
Yeah.
He's got a weird foot thing. Yeah, so, I mean, but legitimately, at 32 years old, he could be MLS bound. Why not? Why not play the retirement league a little bit and try and drum up some support? But I just can't imagine him landing at Nashville or in a Columbus or something like that. He's going to have to go to one of these big markets. I would see a Miami or somebody picking him up.
Well, here's what's crazy is you mentioned it, and I feel like we should spend some time talking about it, but Nico Ladero has some potential to become Sheik Oladero in Saudi Arabia, because one of these Saudi Arabian teams, first of all, that joke was very funny, and I think it deserved more of a laugh. I know you've already read it, but it's better saying it out loud. There is a Saudi Arabian team who seems to have been making...
I think it's funnier that you're upset about it than anything. I think that makes it even funnier that you're mad it didn't get the laugh that you wanted, so you demanded it. That's amazing.
I mean, you wrote Sheik Ladero, but I added the O, which makes it better, right?
There you go. I mean, it makes it sound more like Nico to say Sheik.
Right.
I get it, yes.
Okay. Right, okay.
We're dissecting a joke now. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You all, like, first of all, when you leave your likes and your reviews for our podcast, please review that joke specifically, because I need to know if it was actually good.
Please just do that on social media and not on the long-lasting presence of how our podcast is judged. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Full 90 Podcast on Twitter.
There we go, thank you.
Or whatever. So Nico Ladero is apparently, there's a team making an offer for Nico Ladero in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabian League seems to be the new Chinese Super League, in being the team that is going to come drop a bunch of money for MLS players like PT Martinez, Kim Ki-hee.
Did he end up going there, or did he end up back in Korea? I don't
know.
No,
I think he ended up going back to... He went to Saudi Arabia, so I think he's playing there. PT Martinez from Atlanta. Apparently, there's a team looking for Carlos Vela's services. So the Saudi Arabian League is coming for the players in MLS, and I feel like I sounded like a little bit like Christopher Walken there. The Saudi Arabian League is coming for the players. And Nico Ladero, the Sounders picked up his option for 2021, which means that he is on a club-controlled contract, means he's not a free agent. So if he were to go, the Sounders would receive a hefty chunk of change for it. So
all via TAM, though, not actual money.
Right.
They would receive Monopoly money in small envelopes.
Yeah, and then they
if you bribe someone with Monopoly money, do you have to get smaller envelopes to put it into? Like, here you go. What's this tiny little envelope? It's full of Monopoly money.
They have to convince... they have to convince Mesut Ozil that, like, this is actually just the American currency.
Ever since their little hands president changed things, this is what we now play in.
So if Nico goes, I don't know if this will happen, because I think Nico Ladero has talked about how he wants the club that he ends his career with. I don't think he's close to that necessarily. He's still playing out of his mind in MLS.
32 years old, though.
Yeah, he is 32, and so, but he's talked many times about how he wants to end his career with Boca Juniors, which is the team that he used to play for, and he's a lifelong fan of. So but then again, you know, Sheik, whatever his name is, comes and offers you, you know, millions of dollars, money that you're not making in MLS. You have the opportunity to set you and your family up for generations of, you know, wealth. Like, you can't turn that down, right? Like, Obafemi Martins does the same thing, goes to sign for some team in China, and now has, you know, a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, he's got two ATVs in your upstairs apartment money now, doesn't he?
Exactly.
Man, I don't know anything about actual life in Saudi Arabia except for the, you know, what the media shares with me. And it seems like it's probably not awesome. Like, they kill those journalists, and seems very rich, though. But maybe that, like, women don't have, like, a, I don't know.
Yeah.
Rights.
Yeah.
And so
what are those called again? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rights. That was like a feminist Little Mermaid. What are they called again? Rights.
So, I personally would have to do a lot more homework before taking my wife and child to Saudi Arabia to do radio on a multi-million-dollar contract, to do the full 90 Soccer Time podcast. I can't even name one Saudi Arabian club, so it's like, I can't, like, even make jokes about it.
Yeah.
But that's got to be tough if it's your identity, your club that you came up with, and Boca Seniors sees that you've advanced in age and it's time to go, then great. That's a bad Boca joke. I'm sorry.
No, I liked it.
If I get it. Like, if you want to go spend the, if you get a decent contract, you want to spend the last couple of years playing there. That makes sense, because you have something there. But like you say, you put enough money there, and maybe he just goes and lives there by himself, and his family does their family thing here in Seattle, and he sends the check.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
it'd be like a reverse, like, what the... Never mind. I'm not gonna... I keep, like, wanting to make MAGA jokes, and I just am backing away from them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I feel like we should just bleep it all out. You should say them, because I want to hear them, but I feel like you should bleep it all out.
it's like a reverse Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Like,
he has to go
somewhere else to make the money to send home to his family in America.
See, I thought that's where you're gonna go with it. That's great.
See, it's all right. It's better than my Boca Seniors joke. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and they're both worse than Chico Ladero. At me if you agree. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Nico Ladero, for the reasons that you're saying, like, a lot of, like, the reason that Nico Ladero came to play in the United States in the first place, and the reason that he wanted to play in Seattle, is because where he was playing before, the quality of life in the U.S. is just much higher for what he could provide for his family. He felt like it was safer. He could bring up his kids. He's got two kids, I think, in a safer environment. Raul Ruiz Diaz has the same thing.
Yeah.
Has
he been downtown?
Yeah, right. Has he been brown in America?
Yeah, like, terrible timing.
Right. But you'd have to imagine that it would be hard to uproot his family to move to a foreign country, let alone a foreign country like Saudi Arabia, for all of the reasons that you just mentioned.
I just don't know enough, so I don't want to be xenophobic or whatever. Sure. It's not xenophobia, I think. It's more, like, nationalistic.
Yeah.
But just, like, what I see in the media does not paint that place in great light. But again, if you only have a few more years left to do the soccer and
make the money, and
you can get that big contract, that's a tough question. But also, are you taking blood money, and is that okay? But also, is this country based on that? And also, what is a Zulily?
Yeah. Asking the big questions on At Full 90 Podcast.
One thing I'd like to address before we move on is the car thing at the San Jose Stadium, whatever they call that place, San Jose Stadium,
Earthquake
Stadium.
How have we not talked about this?
Okay, I'm going to ask you because I have a feeling and I don't want to influence you. They let fans out in the parking lot, park their cars, pull up, and party in the cars, and then when something happens in the match, beep, 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 the horns are going off, the lights are blinking. Okay, fine. How did you feel about that experience?
Hated it.
I hated it.
I hated it. Yeah. I feel like how is it better than just getting a bunch of people to call into a Zoom call and putting them up on the green screens around and having like their actual crowd noise in the stadium? Like the car horn thing is a bunch of like shirtless San Jose fans sitting in their cars honking when like Stephen Fry catches a ball. Right, like it was annoying. It was not better than like the piped in crowd noise, in my opinion. When they cut to, because obviously the Sounders are doing the broadcast from CenturyLink, they're hosting the broadcast from CenturyLink, but they're just pulling in San Jose's feed
audio.
Right,
yeah.
And so the feed keeps cutting to these fans sitting out in their cars in this like grassy parking lot outside
beep,
the stadium
beep, beep.
And I'm like, I don't want to say the word trashy, but it just seems like one of those things that is like feels very San Jose for this match.
Well, I have to tell you, I feel exactly the opposite as you. Not that they aren't trashy. Okay, that's still a thing for sure. They do have that In-N-Out burger right there, though. Man, I'm so jealous. Okay, so maybe it balances out, but I feel opposite because I listen to a lot of comedians and comedy podcasts, and they're all trying to do the same thing where they're in a parking lot in Brooklyn, the few and far between, and they're on some makeshift stage doing stand-up with some speakers, and then people in their cars are like, so what's the deal with New Who? And people are like, beep, 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 beep. And like nothing like destroys an audio medium like that type of experience, that artistic performance art, than a car horn going off. It's not like it's like a clapping button or like a ha 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 ha. Yeah. It's not like everyone has a bullhorn and as they laugh back they can like ha 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 ha. It's just car horns. And the same with like there's concerts that are doing the same thing. When you're excited, you blink your lights or hit the freaking horn, and it doesn't match up. A raucous fan base trying to go nuts somewhere where you'd have drums and air horns and stuff like that, at least it's a little bit closer, and at least it's outside the stadium. But it must be weird as hell when you make a good play and like you're used to now just hearing your coach yell, and then the other guy's like, hey, you know, clear, and then beep 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 from like about 300 yards away.
Maybe I'd feel different if it was just a bunch of vuvuzelas out in the crowd. I feel like maybe the best part about watching the match in the San Jose drive-in is that you could probably turn around to your friends in the back seat and offer them, you know, a can of Rainier, but charge them $17 for it.
Hey, it's just Rainier. It's only 11.
Yeah,
come on.
Okay.
It does feel like it's a bit of fan pandering, which I'm going to call fandering.
Obviously.
All right, so I feel like we should probably address the fact that there's another, what do you call it, derby match this week here. Seattle Sounders FC welcoming the Fartland Timbers to CenturyLink Field Thursday night, probably after I'm supposed to be going to bed, which annoys me because then I stay up too late and annoy my wife, and here we go. How many matches is this season for them together? Is this like the sixth matchup that they've had? Or
I
can't even remember.
I don't even know how many times they've played this season. I think something like a lot. Yeah.
Isn't it cool? Like, the one thing that is cool about COVID is that if you're going to play the same teams over and over and you have a rivalry that's real, it's cool to see that rivalry tested time and time again. I think it's imagine if it like what's Toronto's rival?
Yeah, Montreal, like, or Vancouver.
Like, Vancouver's just because you're Canadian and because you can travel within the same country, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel legit to me. The idea that we have a rival and we keep having to do battle with them feels it's interesting to me. I'm tired of it, don't get me wrong, but it's nice to be able to have that repeat challenge against these people so you know what to see and see kind of how the teams evolve.
I think what's interesting is I think if you play to like MLS, you know, freaking all over these kinds of matches, right? Sorry.
Yeah, the marketing department is like, haha, put as many green screens as you can.
Right. like Sounders versus Fartland is like a marquee moment for them. And what makes it great is that when it happens a few times a season, it happens only a couple times a season, and those matches mean a lot, right? And yeah. and right now, the matches actually do mean a lot by nature of the fact that the Sounders are in first place and the Timbers are in second place in the Western Conference. So the match actually does mean something for the results at the top of the conference. However,
getting up for it's so tough, man. We need the blue chew of the green chew in this case of trying to find our way into being pumped for this
sure.
matchup that we've seen over and over again, and this time without Rui Diaz.
Well, and part of what makes, like, I feel like even in the last couple of matches, you don't quite see, against the Timbers specifically, like, you don't quite see the same fire and
There's
no fans in the stadium, right? Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying is, like, yes, I love to see these rivalry matches. Like, it's fun, but it's not as fun as if I don't get to get drunk in the stands and go yell yeah. at Steve Clark after the match and try to get in a fight outside of a parking lot.
I've got an idea. What if we turn CenturyLink Field into a bubble and we could have 40,000 people live there full time for the next, I don't know, 12 to 18 months? And so that way, every time Seattle needs to play, boom, you've got a full packed stadium of people. You convert a couple bathrooms into showers, you let people in the locker rooms, you set up some pretty sweet Wi-Fi, people can remote work. You could even like put off moving to Spokane or whatever and be able to work from CenturyLink Field. What could go wrong?
He's been on the locker room in the stats booth and on the pitch, and he lives in the press box. It's Brandon from the internet.
Yeah, man. Like, just imagine if we could have 40,000. That would be insane.
I don't think we need to imagine.
Boom.
I think we've seen what happened. Yeah, $14 beers is the new economy. Forget toilet paper. We're buying $15 beers. Which we're going to need a lot of toilet paper for. I feel like we've seen what happens when we put thousands of people into a stadium. And that's the Metrodome after Hurricane Katrina. I don't think it goes exactly like the way that you want it to.
Ours is open air.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Then we can wherever we want.
Oh, downtown Seattle's all for that anyway.
Okay. Not to take that dark or anything, but stadiums full of people living in them is not great.
All right, so 7:30 on Thursday night. Tomorrow night, it's Wednesday now at the time of recording. So 7:30 Thursday night, your chance to see Seattle Sounders FC welcome Fartland Timbers FC. There we go. It's a battle for the top of the Western Conference with only four or five, depending on who you are, matches remaining in this season, or five or six, something like that. Whatever. With only a handful of matches remaining, your chance to see who goes to the top of the West, or if it remains the way it is with a draw. What do you actually think is going to happen, Brandon? I'm curious to see what you think.
It's weird. Like, the Sounders haven't been
Wait. Take a look into your Crystal Pepsi
obviously,
ball.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. There you go.
The Crystal Pepsi is fizzy and kind of clouding my view here, but inside the Crystal Pepsi ball, I see the Sounders. It's hard because Timbers always beat the Sounders at home, and Sounders always beat them at home. But I feel like Jordan Morris is going to put on some Nuhu Robo legs and score a couple goals, and Sounders win 2-0.
I'm going to say it's a draw 2-2, and it's going to be four starting left backs. All of them. We're playing all of them.
Good.
Put them all out there.
Great.
The two goals are going to come from the other side, obviously.
Obviously.
Because of
yeah.
the weakness that's over there now. Right. It's just Christian Roldan, or just Alex Roldan by himself over there, like, hey!
It's actually just Alex Roldan on Roman Torres' shoulders.
With a trench coat.
Right. He's the world's tallest doctor.
Imagine if you put Yamar on Torres' shoulders. Oh man,
that is terrifying. And first, and that is also, I feel like, the next Megazord in a Power Rangers movie. It's like the little alien inside of Roman Torres combining with the little alien inside Yamar.
Okay, wait, let's build this. Let's build this character.
Okay,
real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got Roman Torres. Hold on, it's going to be different. We got Roman Torres and Yamar as the legs,
right,
obviously.
Right.
Okay. And then who's the body? Who's the black lion, if you're talking about the
right, the
Voltron?
The Megazord, yeah.
The heart has to be. Right now, Joao Paulo, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you got to have the hair of because this is a Sounders Megatron. I feel like you also have to have the hair of Joao Paulo.
Okay, wait. I don't know how that's gonna work. We're gonna have to. You know whose hair's been looking fly right now? Alex Roldan, man. I think he could be the head.
Yeah. Okay. So Jordan Morris is the feet.
Yeah, Jordan Morris is it actually just shapes out just like a soccer pitch would. Jordan Morris is the left arm.
Okay, yeah, great. And then you've got Christian Roldan as the right arm.
Yeah.
Okay.